You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Welcome to Just Showing Up. I am your host, Brianna Helt, here on Breadbox Media. Well, thanks, guys, for tuning in to another week, another show. Unfortunately, I missed being with you all last week. Last week did not go the way that I had planned, certainly, and that could maybe be said of most weeks. But last week, especially, didn't go the way that I thought it would go. You know, I was like on top of the week. I had gotten my my piece written for National Catholic Register, and you know, I was really like, oh, I'm, you know, on top of my game here, getting stuff done that needs to get done. And then I got a phone call on, I guess it was Wednesday, early Wednesday evening, from my mom. And my dad was in the ER with severe vertigo, and it was really pretty scary. And they ran a bunch of tests on him, and turns out it really was just some weird case of vertigo, probably like an inner ear virus that he didn't even know about. But they admitted him to the hospital. So anyway, I live about 20 minutes from my mom and dad. And so I, you know, when she called me, I said, okay, I'll be right there. And I pretty much like literally left my dinner cooking on the stove in the very capable hands of my husband and my oldest child. And I took off. I left. And I spent that evening with my parents in the ER. And then when my dad was, it's like a freestanding ER, and then he was transferred to the hospital. And so then we followed him to the hospital and got him settled in. And by the time I got home, it was, I don't know, probably close to 1 a.m. And that kind of, you know, the rest of my week was kind of spent catching up on sleep. And I went and saw my dad again the next day in the hospital. Then he was discharged later that day. Anyway, he's doing great, doing fine. But that is no joke. Like, it's scary when somebody you love is sick and doesn't know why or has to go into the hospital. And so that was my week. And yeah, otherwise, I think it was a pretty normal week. And then this week, I've just felt, man, I'm a little bit behind the curve. Like, I have not gotten done my writing work. We've been trying to get moved into our kitchen, which is fabulous and all done. And I baked my very first thing in the kitchen the other day. I made a Martha Stewart lemon bundt cake, which turned out pretty good. And so getting moved into the kitchen, some other stuff's going on. My kids' Wizard of Oz production was this past week, two nights of performances. And so, yeah, it's been, I don't know, it's been kind of a week, but a good week as well. This weekend, now looking forward to the weekend. Last weekend was funny because I don't know what your weekends look like. Mine, I don't know. I feel like our weekends are either feast or famine. Like, it just kind of seems to me like my weekend is either, you know, totally clear calendar, nothing going on, nothing happening. You know, we can just get stuff done around the house, no big deal. And we can move along. Or the weekend is just like jam-packed full of stuff. But even when it's packed full of stuff, I don't know, it's not necessarily like tons of stuff. But last Saturday was funny because my husband and I, like leading up to that day, were jokingly, you know, we called it the Saturday of all of the things, because we had, you know, on our calendar, there were two soccer games, soccer pictures for the season. There was a friend's son's birthday party. We were supposed to be driving my parents to the airport for their trip to California. And my husband and I were scheduled to speak at a couples group out like on the other side of the Denver Metro. So it was going to be go, go, go from the moment we got up that morning. And we were kind of laughing about it. Also experiencing some trepidation, like, whoa, that's going to be kind of a crazy day. And then, of course, this like monstrous blizzard. Well, it wasn't technically a blizzard, but this huge snowstorm hit Denver. Yes, snowstorm, mid-April. Colorado's a funny place. So anyway, so this huge snowstorm hit, which that wiped out the soccer photos and the soccer games. Those were canceled. Then on top of that, you know, I mentioned my dad got sick and went into the hospital. So my parents actually had to cancel their trip. Technically, I guess it's postponed. But so then there was no longer like, you know, we didn't need to take him to the airport anymore. And then on top of that, the couples group that my husband and I were supposed to speak at, because of the storm, that was canceled as well. So our Saturday, of all the things, wound up being a Saturday of only one thing, which was going to our friend's son's birthday party, which they live right nearby, and it was a lot of fun. So anyway, so that was that weekend, kind of insane. And then now this weekend, we just have a couple of soccer games, which isn't too bad. Although they're both away, and one's like up in Boulder, and the other one I think is like out east, the east part of the metro, out in Aurora. So that'll be some definite shuttling the family around. My husband said, so basically we're going on a road trip on Saturday. And I said, yes, we are going on a road trip on Saturday. But you got to go to those games when you can around here, because I have to tell you that almost all of them have been canceled on account of weather. We've gotten a lot of snow this spring, very few practices in. So that's what this weekend is looking like. And our Sundays are... Our Sundays are usually pretty quiet, which is nice. That's good, I think. Kind of restful day, just be around the house and not do a whole lot of anything. So what are we going to talk about on the show today? There's a couple things I want to talk about, actually. One of the things I'm wanting to discuss today is, parish life or church life. I'm Catholic, so we call it a parish. Like, oh, my parish. It's another word for church, I guess. My church, my parish. Parish life. And in particular, when we're talking about parish life, talking about how can we be welcoming to everyone at the parish, especially families or young families. Last Sunday, well, it's been happening more lately. There have been people at my parish. My parish has grown a ton, and there used to only be a handful of us families with kids there. And now there are many, and it continues to grow. And so I think our parish is kind of experiencing these like growing pains of, How do we accommodate all this new growth, basically? And as part of that, I have noticed that in recent months, some of the older members of our parish are expressing what I would perhaps call, I don't know, displeasure, maybe, at some of the kids. And last Sunday, a couple of the older girls got shouted at by an older parishioner, and they weren't really doing anything. But I think there's maybe this like latent feeling of, now he could have just been having a bad day. My husband's like, he was probably just having a bad day. That's fine. But anyway, I wanted to talk about both, like how a parish can integrate older people with kids and teenagers, but then also talking a little bit about A growing parish can best accommodate new families, new young families, things that we can do maybe to that end. So I definitely want to talk about that. The other thing I'm really wanting to talk about, this has been bothering me all week ever since the story came out. So by now we've heard the story about Target announcing their restroom policy and saying that that transgender individuals are welcome to use whichever restroom in the store they identify with. You know, so if you are a female to male, you are welcome to use the men's restroom, and if you are male to female, of course you can use the female restroom. They want people to feel as comfortable as possible. And that story, that policy, to me seems more or less neither here nor there. Like, if you are a huge corporation and you employ a lot of people, that policy, to me, I just kind of see that as the way that things are going to go and the way that companies are going to handle what is really a very sensitive issue. But the backlash on Catholic media has been that I have seen personally, and maybe I shouldn't say Catholic media, maybe it's more just like random Catholic people, but the backlash I've seen, I guess I should say, from Catholics, from Christians, has been just kind of shocking to me. And so I want to talk about that a little bit too. I'd also like to discuss Pope Francis's apostolic exhortation a little bit more specifically, I guess, the backlash that I've seen against that and kind of why I think that's happening. Basically, we're going to have a great show today. I'm so glad you're here tuning in. Do not go anywhere. We'll be back in a moment. This is Brianna Helton, Just Showing Up with Breadbox Media.
You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Brianna Helt, on the Just Showing Up radio show on Breadbox Media. So, again, welcome. Prior to the break, I was sharing a little bit about what we have coming up on the show today. Some good stuff, for sure. Going to talk a little bit about the reaction to Pope Francis's apostolic exhortation. We're going to talk a little bit about Target's new, although I don't really know how new it is, but it's recently in the news, their restroom policy for transgender employees and shopping guests. Also, there has been quite a reaction to that on the interwebs. I think that's kind of like what the internet boils down to. Are you with me? It's just sort of like one big reaction. One big, like, explosion after the other. News story comes out. Everybody flips out. Lots of fighting. And then people move on. Anyway, I think that kind of sums up the internet. Just my opinion. Going to talk about that. But right now, first, I want to talk about kind of like church community life. I don't know if you go to a church or what your story is. I am Catholic. My husband and I are Catholic. We became Catholic about 4.5 years ago. And but we'd been Christians. We'd been Protestant Christians prior to our conversion to Catholicism. So all of that to say that both my husband and I grew up going to church every Sunday, pretty much, and we've been part of several churches as a result. When we became Catholic 4.5 years ago, we started attending a parish at the invitation of some friends of ours, and they were actually our first and only at that time Catholic friends, and this was the parish they were attending at the time, and so we went. And there was a lot to love about this parish, and you know, one of the things I really loved about it was, you know, it was very, the liturgy, the mass was very reverent. That was very beautiful, and the priest was great. His homilies were excellent. He actually teaches a class on homiletics at Denver Seminary now. Anyway, very good homilist, very good priest. And the other thing was that we liked about the parish was that it wasn't so super, super huge. And we were able to really get to know many people fairly quickly. Once we started attending there, we were able to meet a few other young families like us. There weren't a lot. I mean, it was not a big parish, so there were not tons and tons of young families at that time. But there was a handful, and so they really just welcomed us with open arms, and we were really able to jump in and get to know them. Well, the other thing I really liked about this church was that it wasn't just young families. There were many, many elderly people there, middle-aged couples, the brothers. Our priest belongs to it's not technically an order, I guess. It's a movement. It's like a Catholic community for priests. And they also have nuns, and they also have consecrated lay people. So it's kind of like a nun or a monk, I guess. But they have more freedom, I guess, to be kind of in the world. So there's, you know, a community of sisters and a community of brothers. So all of that to say, lots of different kinds of people at the parish. And I loved that because, you know, I had been part of larger churches in the past where, because the church was so large, you know, it was somewhat segmented into kind of age, stage of life groups, which makes sense. That's a very natural way to kind of carve up your population. But I think you really miss out on some beneficial relationships that way. So there was a lot we really liked about this parish, and it's the parish we still go to today. I hope it's the parish we're at someday, like when we die. It's wonderful. Wonderful parish here in the Denver area. And it's our home parish. It's not real far from it's like 8 minutes from our house. So that was, you know, those are some things that drew us to the parish in the first place. And then, but over time, the parish has grown immensely. And we're kind of in this weird phase of transition where there are a lot of new people coming in, and everybody's kind of asking this question, how do we best accommodate all of this growth? And I think part of what we're seeing with the growth, this is just my opinion. That should just be a blanket disclaimer for my show, right? I'm shooting off my mouth for, you know, an hour, whatever. Anything here said here is my opinion. But I think that, you know, sometimes children can be frustrating for some of the other people in the parish. We know kids are frustrating for the parents, right? We're all frustrated at our kids. Please tell me I'm not the only mother that is like cranky at my kids every day. Maybe that's extreme. Maybe not. I have at least true confessions here of a mom. I have 8 kids. First of all, I'm pregnant with my 9th. 4 of my kids are adopted, so really, it's my 5th biological child that I'm pregnant with. But all of that to say, I could say with pretty much near certainty that at least once every day, I feel rather cranky towards at least one of my children. It's just the way it goes around here. Sorry. Now you've lost all respect for me, and you're not going to listen to my show anymore. I also apologize for my, like, scratchy, stuffy radio voice persona today. I have a cold, so I think I caught it when I was visiting my dad in the hospital last week. It's the, you know, the hospital virus. It's like the thing that keeps on giving. Anyway, that was quite a tangent. So other people in the parish, like, I think sometimes it's hard because kids are noisy and they're messy, And, you know, I think parents are generally doing their best. And sometimes I think people whose kids are grown, who aren't in the trenches of this whole parenting thing, they don't have a whole lot of patience, sometimes, for young families. Personally, I have found our parish to be very welcoming. We have really good relationships with people of all ages at our parish, and my kids, I think they really benefit from that. So this has not been a huge issue for us up to this point, I would say. And I also want to say that, you know, I think it cuts both ways. I think as young families, we want other parishioners, older parishioners, to give us kind of that margin, that space to have a crying baby, or, you know, we want them to not yell at us or be mad or whatever. But I do think it cuts both ways. I think that we need to respect them as well, and do our best to teach our children, you know, respect during Mass. If a child gets loud enough, I will take them. We don't have a nursery or a cry room or anything in our parish, which I think is great. I think it's great that we're all there together at church. But, you know, if there have been times, it's been a really long time, but if one of my kids gets loud enough or is having a hard enough time, I don't just take them to the back. I will actually take them out. I just, you know, I don't think that it's necessary, I guess, to be so incredibly disruptive. I think that we can do things as young families to support, you know, a positive, beautiful Mass experience for everybody. And I'm not saying that, you know, kids can't babble or cry or whatever. They do, and I think that's great. But there also comes a point, I think, where we just need to be aware of those around us, and we can show respect to people around us. I think my challenge kind of comes, so at our church, we have Mass, and then we have like this coffee and donut time afterwards in the parish hall. And that's where I've seen, you know, some challenges and some encounters, if you will, with some of the older people at our church and some of the kids. And a friend of mine, her daughter, there was a breakfast for families one week that the Knights of Columbus did, and her daughter accidentally spilled some orange juice. And this came after, you know, like an hour of these sweet kids sitting and eating so nicely and having such good manners, and she accidentally spilled her juice. And this table of adults, of older adults, was nearby, and I didn't see the beginning of when this happened. I only caught the tail end. But this gentleman came over and started, you know, yelling at her and lecturing her on, I don't know, I don't even remember what it was. But some of my kids were at that table as well, and they were pretty upset. And she was pretty upset, and I got really mad because I just thought, this is so not appropriate. A, that you're yelling at a 5-year-old, 6-year-old kid. I guess she's 5. But B, that, you know, you're yelling about this, like, they've been sitting here so nicely. So it's those kinds of things that I see happening. We're going to talk more about it when we come back. I am your host, Brianna Helt, on Just Showing Up with Redbox Media.
You're listening to Redbox Media. Find out more at redboxmedia.com.
Welcome back. I am your host, Brianna Helt. This is Just Showing Up on Redbox Media. So, prior to the break, we were talking about church life, community life, parish life, and the challenges when you go to church and you take your kids to church, particularly young kids, but older kids too, and, you know, sort of the dynamic there between young families and older members of the parish. And, you know, how can we be welcoming to young families, and how can we young families respect some of the older parishioners? And I really do think it goes both ways. I think for sure it needs to go both ways. And so anyway, at our, I was, you know, at our parish, I feel like I've noticed it's increased recently, just this sort of emerging, frustration maybe on behalf of older parishioners at some of these younger kids. And there are just so many. I mean, that there are so many kids at our parish now, and it's grown a ton. And so I think we're just having, like, you know, some growing pains maybe with what's happening at our church. And, like, yeah, last Sunday, somebody yelled at my 12-year-old daughter and her friends for something that they weren't doing. And it was not appropriate, in my opinion. It's, you know, and I think, I don't know, it's just, it's hard. Like, it's hard when you have kids because you're doing your best. You want to be able to sit and have some coffee and have a donut and visit with people after Mass. But, you know, you've got your kids running around, and then, like, every family has different boundaries and different standards for behavior. There are things that, you know, I don't permit my kids to do at coffee donut time that other parents are fine with, and I'm sure vice versa. It's hard. It's just, it's hard. And I feel like as a mom, I feel like as a parent, you're so vulnerable because your kids are just, these kids are just like wild little crazy people that, you know, sometimes do things that you don't approve of, and you're like, oh my gosh, they're going to throw me out of here. Anyway, my kids are very good at Mass. We're quiet at Mass, all of us, but it's coffee and donut time where I'm like, okay, guys, you know, we can't run in here. We can't. But it's hard because, like, our church, it's grown a lot, and there's nowhere for these kids to go, and there's nothing for them to do. So, I don't know. It's kind of a balance. But after last Sunday, and I was really frustrated, like, my inner mama bear was frustrated that my daughter had been, in my opinion, unjustly yelled at. I gave it some thought, and we talked to our kids. You know, it was a good opportunity for a reminder. Like, we have to share the parish hall. It's not a playground, you know. You could, and talking with the kids about behaviors, you know, expectations that we have, which we've always had, but, you know, you kind of every so often have to have that talk, like, remember, guys, we're not supposed to be running in there. We're not supposed to be wrestling in there. We're, you know, whatever. But one thing I thought of, and that I'm encouraging my kids to do, and I'll tell you how this, I'll give you an update next week on how this pans out. But one idea that I'd had was, you know, what if every Sunday during coffee and donut time, you know, before the kids disperse to play with their friends, what if they take their donut and their orange juice and go sit at a table with some grown-ups that maybe they don't know, or, you know, don't know well? What if they find a place to sit and engage that adult in conversation and get to know them? And, you know, I feel like that way we're, like, trying to build bridges between kids and adults, and not have it be so, I don't, you know, such a potentially hostile relationship. And I think that's good for kids. My kids were actually, at first they were like, wait, what? I don't want to do that. That's awkward. But then they got, you know, they got kind of excited about it. And I said, you don't have to sit there a super long time, but it would be a good way to get to know people and build those relationships so that you're not just an anonymous kid annoying them or by your sheer presence and breathing. And by the way, I am not advocating this weird, like, oh, I want people to like my kids and I don't care about how they treat my kids or whatever. That's not true. Like, I do care quite a bit. I think that it is highly inappropriate to yell at someone else's kid, when the parent is right there. You know, there's an older gentleman that, I guess some kids, not mine, somebody else's kids were making a mess and really messing around with the orange juice, I don't know, a few weeks ago, and an older gentleman approached my husband and, you know, are those your kids? And my husband looked and he said, nope, they're not my kids. And then this man just started like unloading on my husband, even though they were not our kids, about like how these kids are wild and, you know, all this stuff. And that's not appropriate. Like, that made me really mad. My husband is more patient than I. So if I had been standing there, this man may have gotten an earful from me. Because, hello, first of all, those aren't even our kids. Why are you unleashing on us? We have 8 kids. Those were not ours. Like, what are you doing? So I'm going to try out this thing where I'm trying to encourage my kids to get to know some more adults. We actually do know, because we started at the parish before it got so big, we do know, we do have good relationships with, most of these people, these older people at the parish. So it's really, you know, it's fine. But I would love my kids to get to know some of these people better. And I think they'll have a better, it'll help them, my kids, to have a better understanding of, like, you know, this is why the parish hall is not your playground. This is, you know, these are people and they're trying to enjoy conversation and catch up with one another. And if you guys are racing around and yelling, like, that is not appropriate. Anyway, just some random thoughts about that. And then the other thing is, though, as our parish has grown, we have all these new young families here. And I think a lot of them are here. I've met several of them. I think a lot of why they're here is because they heard that, oh, you know, our parish has young families and stuff for young families. And that's sort of true, but it's maybe sort of also false advertising. Like, our church does not have a ton of programs. We are still not a huge parish, and all this growth that's happened has been relatively recent. There's a couples group that meets once a month. There is a men's group once a month and a women's group once a month. That's kind of the extent of it. And those groups have kind of ebbed and flowed and have kind of grown organically. And I think that people are arriving with this expectation that we have all this stuff, and we don't, at least not in the way that they have come to expect. One interesting thing that I keep hearing from these couples is childcare. They are, I think, baffled that our church provides like zero childcare ever. And it's true. You know, when we started going there, again, there was a very small handful of young families. And when we would have our monthly couples group, you know, the expectation was that unless you had, you know, a nursing baby or whatever, that you would get childcare on your own, you know, like you would get a babysitter at your house and then you would come to the group. And then after the group was done, if you were interested, a bunch of us would go out to dinner. And it's like one of my favorite things every month is going out with friends after our group. Well, and everybody in the group was, in the existing group, was happy with that arrangement. Everybody was totally pleased with the idea that we would just get our own babysitters at home. Because the fact of the matter is, you know, between us, even before the parish started growing so much, even between the handful of couples that attended the group, there was a lot, you know, there were a lot of kids, you know, guilty as charged. I probably had the most, but bottom line, to somehow have everybody bring all their kids and keep those kids entertained during the group time, that would be a monumental, huge task. I guess they did it that way. They tried doing it that way shortly before my husband and I joined the group. And when they tried doing it that way, it was a disaster. You know, the kids made a mess. These people are having to spend time cleaning up the mess. And then you can't go out afterwards. It's just a whole thing. So anyway, but childcare. So now we have all these new families coming in, and these families, they all have you know, maybe between one and three kids, but the kids are all really little. And they want childcare. They want babysitting. They don't want to have to, you know, shell out a bunch of money every month for a babysitter to come to their house. They don't want to have to find a babysitter to come to their house. I feel like a lot of people kind of showed up with this expectation that there would be childcare. And the rest of us who've been there a while, we're like, oh, no, no, we are not doing the childcare thing at our group because it's a mess. And the same people get stuck with the cleanup and people are distracted and kids are just inevitably running around. No good. No bueno. I mean, really, it's a huge group now. If we did childcare there, I don't know, there could be like 30 kids, 40 kids easy. That I don't think that's an exaggeration. So anyway, so there's that kind of thing going on where I think people are expecting childcare, and so we're kind of talking at church about what are we going to do about this whole thing. More on this topic, and we're also going to talk about the apostolic exhortation when we come back. I'm your host, Brianna Held, on Just Showing Up at Breadbox Media.
You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Welcome back. I am your host, Brianna Held, on Just Showing Up with Breadbox Media. So prior to the break, if you're just now tuning in, I was talking about this issue at our church where our church is kind of growing by leaps and bounds, which is a good thing, good problem to have. But, you know, it raises this question of how do we best accommodate these new young families that seem to be coming to our parish in droves, which is kind of funny. And, you know, I think they're coming because they heard that it's a great parish for young families, and it is. But it was really just a handful of us young families before. And now, you know, now we have a lot of new young families. And so they are kind of, I think, frustrated that our parish does not provide things like childcare or, you know, the events, the things we do at our church. You know, they kind of, I guess they've kind of sprung up organically or kind of naturally, and some of us have just built some really incredibly strong relationships and friendships there through our time together, which is very beautiful. But I think there are people who would like to see, I don't know, maybe more programs, stronger programs, more definitive start times and end times. And, you know, I think there is perhaps an expectation there that our parish will be functioning one way when we've never really functioned very much that way. And it's hard. You know, I think, okay, so I'm a huge Seinfeld fan. If you know me at all, you know, I love, love, love Seinfeld. It is the best ever. So I'm a product of the 1990s. What can I say? Well, I wasn't born in the 90s, but I mean, you know what I mean. Anyway, so Seinfeld, you know, there's like this episode where there's this pool guy at Jerry's gym, and he kind of latches on to Jerry. I don't remember why. His name's Ramon, and he just wants to hang out with Jerry all the time. And Jerry's like trying to ditch this guy, and he finally kind of ditches him on the subway. And Jerry says, you know, Ramon, I'm sorry. It's just that I already have too many friends. Like, I don't need any more friends. And I don't know. It's hard to explain. It's very funny. Anyway, so as an introverted person and as a busy mom, I think there is, like, I see so much, it sounds mean, but I see so much, like, truth reflected in that interaction. Like, I like meeting new people, and I like making new friends. I also know that my time is limited, and I feel like I don't get enough time with, you know, my close friends, and as it is. And so, you know, I'm 34 years old. And so I think that I'm at a place where I recognize, like, I'm probably not going to be able to be besties with every person I meet at my church now. again, it's growing a lot. And so, you know, how can I be welcoming and accommodating and friendly to new people, but also acknowledging, like, you know, there was a time where all the, you know, the moms at church, like, if you were a mom at church, you were part of our group and we were very close. But now it's like, it's getting big enough where additional little groups are kind of forming, and it's great. It's awesome. So, like, how can we facilitate the growth of these strong relationships among the new people? And like our women's group that meets once a month, we just met this past week, Wednesday night. And, it was, well, I don't know. I feel very socially awkward anytime there's a potential for somebody's feelings to be hurt in a social situation. That gets my social anxiety going. And we had this conversation at our group because there's like 24 people on this group's email list now. I think three more were added that week. And it's getting too big. The group is getting too big for, you know, for it to be a meaningful, deep group where women feel like they can share and go deeper in their friendships and things like that. So some of us were just saying, like, you know, I think it's time for the group to split and to split into two groups. And going forward, as the church, if it continues to grow like this, you know, more groups will form and all of that. And people seemed friendly to the idea, and it makes good sense. I think you can't deny that. Yeah, it's too big for achieving these deeper, meaningful conversations. But, you know, I also think during this discussion, I think that people want different things out of a group. And some people want a group to come and hear a talk or go over some sort of curriculum, and that's kind of their main thing. And others of us are really wanting the group for the relationships and the friendships and the sharing and the connecting. And it's just kind of interesting, you know. Living life in community with other people is always an adventure, for sure. But I think that, you know, setting up ways for people to go deeper with one another, to me, that, you know, that should always be the goal. I never imagined that my husband and I would have so many couples that we are so close with and really enjoy so much and that encourage us so much. And, you know, I think that our parish, we should be seeking to achieve that, or provide that, I should say, for the new people coming in and all of that, even though it's tough. I realize that I have just blathered on about this church stuff for way too long. We need to move on. We need to talk about Target. Let's talk about Target. Okay, Target, they have restated, I don't know that it's anything new, that transgender employees and shoppers at their stores are free to use the bathroom of the gender that they choose, of the gender they identify as. And when I heard that, I thought, okay, is this news? Why is this news? That seems like common sense for an employer. I don't know. People really freaked out. And I'm not going to get into the ins and outs here of the whole matter. But I do just want to say it has really bothered me as a Catholic to see the way that many Catholics online are demonizing transgender people. Like, they talk as if a transgendered person is this criminal deviant that's just wanting to assault women in the bathroom. And that is so far from the truth of the matter that I hate to even dignify that notion by speaking it aloud. But it's true. And this is what people are, the way they're acting, and, oh, we're not shopping at Target anymore, and, okay. The fact is, like, transgender individuals statistically are actually much more likely to be the victims of assault than those of us who are not transgender. So, and these types of policies are really in place partly to protect them. And yes, I have seen the horror stories and the news stories about the weirdo that, you know, is sitting around naked in the locker room just to freak women out, and he's probably not even transgender and blah, blah, blah. Okay, that guy's weird. Like, wouldn't he be doing weird stuff anyway? I don't know. Anyway, and I also don't want to trivialize. I think it's a different conversation if we're talking about schools, school locker rooms. You get into some stuff there. But no matter what, that school is going to need to navigate, like, how do we keep everybody safe and make sure that everybody's body is being respected? And I really think that that's what Target is trying to do here. And we actually, one of the last times I was in Target with my daughter, there was a cashier there who was transgender, male to female. And by all, I mean, like, physical appearance really did look like a woman, a young woman. The cashier was, you know, probably late teens, but had, like, a male voice. And, you know, like, for that person, if they feel anxiety, you know, and I was a psychology major in college, so I guess I kind of have, like, a heart for people that struggle with gender dysphoria, body dysmorphic disorder, all those things. Those are mental health issues, and it's nothing that we should be, like, taking lightly, or I don't know. Anyway, so if that cashier, if it gives them great anxiety and fear to use the men's restroom, which I imagine it would, and they feel like they need to use the women's restroom, I'm okay with that. I am. And look, who likes to pee or poop in public anyway? Let's just be honest. Like, I like to save that for home, but I'm pregnant, right? So I do a lot of bathroom using in public places before my bladder, like, explodes. Wow, we've sunk really low here on the Just Showing Up show talking about this. But anyway, what I'm saying is, like, go in there, you do your business, you go out. I don't know. I just don't think that Target's policy is that controversial by any stretch of the imagination. And again, I'm not intending to trivialize some of these questions when it comes to school environments, when it comes to protecting women. But at the same time, can we not demonize an entire subgroup of people who have higher rates of depression, suicidal thoughts, anxiety? Let's not demonize these people over a bathroom policy. Let's just not. Now, I said we were going to talk about Pope Francis's apostolic exhortation and the reaction about it. We have totally run out of time. Basically, I think Catholics need to calm down. Everybody needs to calm down. I will leave you with that. I hope you have a very calm, peaceful week. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, I'm your host, Brianna Helt. This is Just Showing Up on Breadbox Media.
You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.